And good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Friday, December 3rd, 2021. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, Melody. How are you doing today?
Oh, it's a beautiful day. I'm happy. All is good.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that.
On the Eastern Shore.
Well, good. So can I do my whining now, or wait till later?
Do you need some cheese with that
need
wine?
Need some cheese to whine? Yeah. No, it's a beautiful day here too. It really is. I have no complaints. I mean, God's good to me. I have no complaints. It's just a nice day to be alive and trying to do something, maybe to help somebody else along the way. That's what we're here for, and that's what you're here for. So. Uh-huh. You go and get started and let them know what you're here for.
Okay. Well, we had a little bit of a pullback today with gold, $1,783, up $14. Silver was up 14 pennies at $22.60. Platinum was down 6 at $9.40. Palladium was up 21 at $18.87. The USDX today is trading up stronger by 0.05 at 96.18. Crude oil was down 51 cents at $65.99. And the Dow in the last hour trade, it was down 300 points. It did come back. You have the Dow now down only 60 points at 34,580. The S&P was down 38 points at 4,538. NASDAQ, that was down 295 points at 15,085. Asia overnight, it was a mixed. Europe was negative across the board. The 10-year yield today, wow, that dropped 1.36% on the 10-year yield. So, it's just been sort of a hectic day today. So, unfortunately, I really didn't get a chance to follow a lot of the news. We had the job growth, the job numbers came out today for November with a gain of just 210. Everyone was, expecting 573,000. Wall Street was last month was 546. But for non-farm payrolls increased only by 210. However, the unemployment rate fell to 4.2% and a 0.4 percentage point decline that came even with rising labor force participation. Professional and business services and transportation and warehousing led the gains, while hiring and leisure and hospitality was sluggish and retail lost jobs despite the traditional holiday hiring season. So, there you have it. A weak number, and affected the NASDAQ somewhat. Initial jobs tallies this year, they've seen substantial revisions, with months showing low counts. Initially, they always bump higher. So, it's just, it's the same old, same old, same old, Butch.
It is. It really is. And I'm still sitting there trying to digest the fact that crude oil's dropped $15 a barrel in the last few weeks. And the price of fuel, gasoline, has not dropped here a penny. But if the price of fuel goes up $2, the price of gas goes up the next day. I'm still trying to sit there and digest that. the price is still the same. $15 is quite a drop per barrel. That's a huge drop. That should bring it back down at least to what it was before this last increase. But it hasn't dropped a penny here, where at least where I live. May have in other places, but it hasn't here. And I just don't understand how that works, that they can jack it up immediately, but they hang the price up here as long as they can, float it in pure profit, for at least a month out after drops. I mean, that is real money, if you know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
So I just can't quite comprehend how that's supposed to work. I don't know, but
well, I mean, they have to buy it so many months out. So You know, the gasoline is reflecting the what they purchased, you know, previously. So those rates aren't down. So now when they go make their next buy, then they'll be able to lower the price. But
well, you talk about each individual fueling station or overall the nation?
Overall the oil, yeah.
That may be true. I don't know. I don't understand, but it doesn't work out way in the price.
It isn't about maybe, Butch.
Oh, it's okay. Well, but it is not way the price goes up. I mean, it goes up the next day. So, I mean, I don't know, Mel.
Because their future oil has to be bought at a higher price.
Yeah, but they still make the same profit on the old load.
Right.
So I thought you'd have all the answers for that one.
Well, I do, but you're just not paying attention.
I'm just not savvy that. I don't know. I do have to believe there's a little bit of greed on that end. I have to believe that. I don't like to be negative about that, but I think there's some greed.
Greed?
Yes,
in
I
this,
think so.
In today's world, greed?
I know. It's hard to believe. Mm-mm. It really is. It's hard to believe.
Hmm.
It's just unbelievable that companies like, you know, that make billions and trillions would be greedy. I don't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't get it. But you probably saw
me
this.
Either.
I mean, We have people talking about inflation and market situations that, as far as I know, that they never talked about before, like the IMF. The IMF is warning of an economic collapse.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't seen that on ABC or CBS, have you?
No, I have not.
And the IMF never comments on that kind of stuff that often, that I know of. The IMF, International Monetary Fund, is warning of an economic collapse. I'm going to read the article in a second, but it makes sense what they say. This should make people feel a little nervous, but the IMF wouldn't even comment on this in any way at all, because really, what do they have to do with it as far as economics? They put out money in enslaved nations, but other than that,
they control it.
Yeah, exactly. They control them. I mean, what do they do as far as production and stuff and all, you know, so I don't know. But anyway, so the IMF are warning of economic collapse, which should get headlines. Not because IMF have any kind of track record of being timely or right about anything, but because the fund so rarely says anything negative for fear of being seen as precipitating the crisis, which the policies it imposes always end up creating anyway. So it makes perfect sense that they end up causing the policy end up causing the situation, but they hardly ever say anything about it. Besides a total lack of surprise on first seeing the headline, my initial thought was, yes, but where? There are so many candidates as to reasons why. I'm not going through all the ones they had listed. These are just a few that I thought was interesting because they're making a point that's really happening as we speak. Matter of fact, on Tuesday night's program, I have a gentleman who works in the grocery supply chain. And he's telling people what's coming in the future. And he said, we won't have massive shortages of a whole lot of items at one time, but we're going to see a lot of shortages and a lot of items everybody takes for granted every day. You know, it'll come and go, but we're going to see more of it. But anyway, supply chain issues are being swept out to sea in lieu of having a rug large enough. And this is how they've covered it now. A ship outside the port, Melody, is not at port. So it's no longer considered a port if it's outside port. A container dumped outside the port is not in port. So they made it work better. I mean, they don't sound so bad. We don't have 100 ships sitting at port. They're not in port, so they're not. We don't count those. It's just another game with numbers and confusion that make people feel better, just like our government reports on inflation. Just about everyone at the Fed now says tapering needs to be accelerated, and rate hikes happen for far sooner than we had thought. On top of all the debt we added over COVID, under COVID, the curve flattening we see speaks volumes on that. Janet Yellen says, "I'm ready to retire the word transitory." Folks, let's let that sink in. I'm ready to retire the word transitory. I can agree that hasn't been an apt description of what we're dealing with. What objective is she thinking of instead as she pushes more stimulus for groups with the highest marginal prosperity propensity to consume without addressing supply chain issues. Confusingly, Yellen also said the Fed should keep a close eye on rising wages to avoid 70-style wage price spiral. This is not her job. And without a without wage gains, there is no way to escape the economic paradigm she seems determined to shift. Which is okay to give people benefits, but not for them to earn that money. So, a few good points made here. And of course, oil prices, they're down right now, but oil prices, fuel prices, have played a huge role in the cost of inflation because shipping and trucking is always going up. When fuel prices go up, the price always goes up. And everybody I talk to, speaking about shipping and trucking, about every company I talk to, and I talk to you once in a while, are really up in the air, Melody, about what it costs to ship products now. And I don't just mean in trucks. I mean even via mail or UPS. The price of shipping, and on our end also at our ministry, has went through the roof. I mean, it's just unbelievable how much it's went up in the last few months. So all this just adds more to the cost to the consumer, doesn't it?
Always does.
And I'm certain that you felt it big time with what you do.
I mean, you know, I've been trying to raise my prices on shipping, and it's difficult with prices so high on gold and silver. And then, you know, but I mean, it's just getting to the point where, you know, we keep our prices competitive. So, you know, we are slowly raising our shipping costs. I hate to do it, but we are, you know, so it's just what irritates me is prices are rising. I think I said this the other day on the program. Our prices are rising to ship, but yet Amazon gets to go on there and dictate what the United States Post Office does. They get reduced prices, and we have to subsidize Amazon's shipping.
Yes.
That irritates me.
Yep, I agree. And a lot of times on Amazon, you get what they call free shipping, and their prices are what they get, I guess, are bulk items are good. But they get free shipping. Somebody's absorbing that. There's no such thing as free. Somebody's going to pay for it. And we have a company the size of Amazon that can actually pick its own rates. That's not only not fair, that's I would think would be illegal. Mm. Would you think so?
That what?
It's not only not fair, it should be illegal.
Well, what, that they don't pay anything?
That can pick your own rates. Yeah, they can pick and choose what they want to pay on something. That is not only, as I said, unfair, but it should be illegal because that's just, all that does is hurt the consumer, that on the people that buy things from you and I.
They can, you know, the post office, they can adjust prices for any one of their customers. However, I know the post office is not government, but it's government. So, no, they shouldn't be able to do that. Everybody should pay the same darn thing.
I agree. Just like on taxes, flat rate, period, that's it. But that don't work that way.
I mean, UPS, yeah, they can change their rates and everything. They're an independent company, and they could adjust and do better rates for somebody who's going to do a lot of volume and so forth. But the United States Post Office, no. They shouldn't even be delivering their mail. I shouldn't say not the Amazon's mail, but they shouldn't be delivering UPS's mail, and they shouldn't be delivering FedEx's mail and things like that. And that's what's happening. That's what they're doing. So, but hey, when you're billions of dollars in the hole, I guess you need to do anything to try to make a few extra bucks instead of fixing the problem. But hey.
Well, again, it just ends up hurting the little guy again, and that's how Amazon and people like it make their money. That's why I hate using Amazon for anything, because I know what they're doing. I don't like it at all. And if enough people quit using them, they may do some changes.
But they're too big.
They are too big. That's the problem.
So no, they'll never change.
They are too big. And
they're too big to boycott.
They are. And how would you boycott them?
I
mean, it's worldwide, I guess. But you have to admit that, you know, Amazon is handy. You can go on there and order anything you want, and they deliver it. It beats going to the store if you don't want to go shopping. I hate shopping, but I don't like Amazon. I don't try not to use Amazon, and I try not to go to Walmart. I don't like them. I just don't go. I'd rather go to a smaller place, pay a little more. And we got time, I think, for this article. I think it's kind of important, or kind of interesting anyway. What do they know? Insiders are dumping stocks at the fastest pace in history. This is by Michael Snyder. Why are CEOs and corporate insiders selling their stocks at a far faster rate than we have ever seen before? And I did not know this. It is an interesting point. Do they know something that the rest of us don't know? If stock prices are going to continue soaring into the stratosphere, like many in the mainstream media are suggesting, these insiders that are dumping stocks like there is no tomorrow will miss out on some absolutely enormous profits. On the other hand, if a colossal market crisis coming in 2022, then 2021 was absolutely the perfect time to get out. As I've said countless times before, you only make money in the stock market if you get out in time. Could it be possible that many of the richest people in the world have picked the absolutely perfect moment to pull the trigger? According to CNBC, CEOs and corporate insiders have sold $69 billion worth of stock so far this year. This is a new all-time record, and it's a whopping 30% higher than last year. CEOs and corporate insiders have paid a record $69 billion in stock in 2021. Sold a record. As looming tax hikes and lofty share prices encourage many to take profits. From Satya Nadella at Microsoft to Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk, CEOs, founders, and insiders have been cashing in the stock at their highest pace on record. As of Monday, sales by insiders are up 30% from 2020 to $69 billion and up 79% versus a 10-year average, according to Insider Score of Verity, which excludes sales by large institutional holders. Melody, what do you think is going on there? I mean, they're selling stock. We're talking about people that have stocks to sell. What's going on there? That's a huge, huge sell-off. Do they see something really?
Well, you know, hey, they're getting out of paper, you know, and it's just a sign. They always do that.
Well, folks, pay attention to that, because that's huge. When the people that control it sell it, you might want to think about that.
What's the old buy low, sell high? We're at highs. That's the most common. It's common sense to be selling.
And if they see something coming as a drop, and I'm convinced they're probably seeing it, and I believe they're right, now's a good time to get out. But folks, now's also a good time to get some precious metals and other things while you can, because the price of metals are really relatively cheap right now compared to what it's going to be in the very near future. Now, if the market goes to the bottom, gold and silver, you're going to see an increase you're not going to believe. So you better do it pretty quick, and I won't put it off very long at all. 800-375-4188. And there's your break.
We sure are. We'll be right back. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC Talk CommonSenseVoicesOfIntegrity.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. And Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. And there's just some really wacky things going on, Butch. You know, I don't know what to say, and this is just, you know, that school shooter, that 15-year-old, they are charging his parents. And I've said for a long time, you know, so there's ought to be other people responsible. And so the parents of the teen have been charged in connection, and they've been charged with four counts of involuntary manslaughter. How about that?
How about that? And because they had the gun where he could get to it, I suppose.
Pardon?
Because I guess they had a gun where he could get to it.
No, they helped him purchase it. They did, I guess, I don't know the whole story, but the kid had issues, and they've... you know, just little odd things. The problem that I have with this, I do believe people, other people should be start being held responsible. I don't know if it's logical or not, but people need to start being held accountable. And, but the problem I had, I heard briefly, I guess the prosecutor, and you know, she was whining, you know, why she was doing this and so forth and whatnot. But the problem I had with her statements is she brought in her personal feelings. Prosecutor is not supposed to use her personal feelings to make charges against somebody. You make charges based on the facts. Right, Butch?
That's right.
You don't use your feelings. So is she doing this because the facts were there to support her doing it, or is it just because, you know, she's tired of, you know, she's a, you know, bleeding heart liberal or whatever, and her feelings, and that's why she's doing it. So, don't know.
I'm going to say something people, I think most people understand, will agree with me on also. It's impossible for anyone to make an impartial decision on about anything. I'm going to tell you why I'm saying that. Her feelings are her philosophy on life. That's what she believes. That's what she, I guess, conducts her life by. It's like being a Christian or non-Christian or Buddhist or a Muslim, whatever it is. That's your core of what you believe you should build your life around and how you should act on in situations. It's hard for a judge, a school teacher, or anybody else not to let what they believe is their core philosophy of life to influence what they're doing. It's impossible. You can't take yourself out of the picture, so to speak, and have strong emotional reasons to why you live your life the way you do. So I think we're just seeing what she really is coming out. And in a sense, I guess it's a type of honesty, but nonetheless, it doesn't make it right, but it's coming out. So they helped him purchase a gun.
Yeah, but you know what, Butch? Let me ask you a question, though.
Mm-hmm.
If we fall, everybody says there's always gray areas. Well, if we kept it black and white, there's no room for personal feelings.
Well, that's true, but that doesn't work that way because black and white, no, there is no longer really much black and white. It's about all gray nowadays.
Then that's the part of the problem.
That is a problem.
I told somebody the other day, I says, you know, in the development that I live, you know, they are the HOA and their stupid rules and so forth. And everybody wants to break them. And it's like, hey, those are the rules. What's the big, oh, well, you know, there's always the gray area. It's like, no. No. It's black and white.
There was a time when things were much simpler, and even in our lifetime, Ellie, where right was right and wrong was wrong, especially when it comes to like moral issues. Today, that's no longer true. I mean, there's not much that you really, as far as moral issues.
I mean, I agree, but we shouldn't accept it.
We shouldn't accept it. But we have. Our society has.
We have. But as individuals, we shouldn't.
No, we shouldn't. And in her eyes, in the prosecutor's eyes, she probably isn't. She believes what she's saying is that's what she builds her life on. You know, she thinks it's moral to her. But the parents helped the 15-year-old boy buy a gun.
I don't know the whole story, but I don't know if I have the story here.
The 15-year-olds can't buy a gun legally.
Well, I guess his father was with him.
That's called a ghost purchase. A ghost, and that is illegal.
And a teacher reported him purchasing ammunition online in school, and reported to his parents. And his parents didn't do anything. They didn't even call the school or something. And you know, it's just these things that go on. I don't know if he had other issues or something like that. You know, he had drawings of people being shot and stuff like. I mean, the kid definitely had maybe some issues.
He put out some video on YouTube the night before about what he's going to do in school. He put that on YouTube. So this should have been caught before it happened.
Yeah.
But to buy anybody a gun, and yeah, you're kind of responsible. I understand giving children a gift of a gun. I've done it with my own sons, but. They didn't have the tendency to go out and shoot somebody. If they knew he was had mental problems, anger problems, then I can see where maybe they were part responsible because they bought the gun or helped him get the gun and didn't care about what he's doing with it. That could be a situation.
But although, you know, if they do it here, you know, then, you know, a lot of these psychologists and so forth that, you know, treat these kids and so forth with, you know, all the medications that are known to create problems, and also the what about the Parkland shooting where the schools and even the police, and how about the FBIs who've done investigations and had some of these people online? They all need to be held responsible too.
Sure they do. I
they
agree.
Do.
It's a big mess. It's a huge mess. I totally agree.
And you know
agree.
What? If these people were held responsible, gee whiz, maybe we wouldn't have as many problems as we do.
Well, the core thing is we have more laws than we have people any longer. And the mm-hmm. Bible explains that also, that because of people's sins, many are they call them princes, rulers, many are the rulers of the people, because people will not govern themselves. They have to have more people to govern them. Mm-hmm. I remember when I grew up, we actually took guns to school to go hunting after school, and no one ever got shot. What happened? What's the difference between 1950s and 60s to 2000? The difference is what we were taught in our homes, in society. That's the difference. You cannot govern a people that will not govern themselves. You can have more cops, more laws, but people will still break the law if they will not govern themselves. That's why prisons numbers are growing. And now, of course, a lot of we know it's corrupt. A lot of prison numbers are corrupted because of drugs. So they should maybe be in jail for right away, but that's beside the point. The point of it is people no longer have any moral values as a whole, so nothing seems to upset them too much. But we tolerate it. The society tolerates it. So now we have these situations cropping up everywhere. They never had them, Melody, in the 50s and 60s. There were no school shootings. None. There were no mass shootings. There were none. And that's just what's happening. The nation has turned its back on the moral values given to it by God Almighty, and now we're paying for it. But on the topic of guns, the interesting we're discussing all this time, Smith & Wesson shares crash after earnings miss shows panic hoarding gun is panic hoarding guns is over. And we know in the last few years, more guns have been sold in some months than ever before in history. In a month's time, it says, Smith & Wesson Brands Incorporated shares crashed on Friday after the company's Q2 earnings report missed analyst estimates as panic hoarding guns of Americans ease. Sales fell 7.3% in the quarter as gun demand subsided, prompting Cowen to downsize the stock from outperform to market perform. Cowen analyst Cal Von Runier sliced the price target to $22 from $38. The average price target is approximately $30.50. Shares of Smith & Wesson are down more than 17% in pre-market to about the $19 handle. So, yes, people are buying, and as far as I know, they're still buying a lot of them. They bought, I don't know, hundreds of thousands last month alone. But that's, guns are not the problem. And now I think about this, this program knows that. Guns aren't the problem. It's the people with them in their hands the problem. I own guns. I don't like calling weapons. I never have because I didn't buy to be a weapon. It can be, but I got a baseball bat in my closet. I used to play with, boys play with them growing up. It's a nice baseball bat. It's in my closet. I haven't got it out for years. But it could be used as a weapon? Of course. Of course it can. I didn't buy for that purpose. I own several guns. I like to hunt. I like target practice when I can afford it. The price of ammunition is so high now it's hard to buy it, and it's even hard to find. But I didn't buy a gun merely for it to be a weapon. I bought it for home protection if necessary, but I didn't buy for that express purpose, if you know what I'm saying. I mean, it's fine if you do, but I don't like to call something a weapon because I didn't buy it to be a weapon. But I can use it for a weapon if I have to. But guns are not the problem. The problem are the people in this country. They have lost their moral values or their moral compass has been totally askew to the point that they don't understand what right and wrong is any longer. That's where we are in this country today. Do you have any comments on that?
No, I do not.
Did it make any sense to you then? Must have.
Sure.
But I hadn't, you would.
And it's Friday, too.
Yeah, it is Friday. How about that? But again, we keep talking about this, folks. Don't mean to flog a dead horse, but a society cannot prosper in any way that will not govern itself. Our people that want to govern themselves are slaves. They have to be made slaves. That's all there is to it. One of our founders said, I think John Adams said, that our Constitution written for only for moral and religious people. It's inadequate to govern anybody else. It's not. You cannot have a free state and immoral people. Society will crumble as our society is. And that's another reason why you need to prepare your future for what's coming in every way possible in your life, because it's going to get more and more unsteady, and unrest will grow more and more as days go by. It truly will. And this article here, I thought it was kind of interesting, market now is crazier than the dot-com era, says Berkshire Hathaway Vice Chairman Charlie Munger. The current share market is crazier than the dot-com boom. Berkshire Hathaway, Vice President Charlie Munger, told Sean Hartz and Mine Investment Conference on Friday. Interviewed by Caledonian Chairman Mark Nelson, the 97 years old, bless his heart, Munger said the current share market was the most extreme he's seen in recent history. Some of the valuations we saw in the dot-com boom were higher, he said, but overall, I consider consider this as being even crazier than the dot-com boom, which blew up in 2000. He said many companies were now trading on the U.S. share market at prices that represented 35 times earnings. Listen to that, 35 times earnings, making it much harder for ordinary investors to make money on the market. The higher prices now being paid for good companies made it more difficult to get good returns. It is hard to get results which could be called normal results in investing, Mr. Munger said. So he's saying basically the same thing that IMF said. We may be heading for a hard time in the markets, Melody. In other words, inflation, inflated prices, inflated numbers, have made the markets look like they're really booming when they're really not. That's pretty much what he said, isn't it?
It pretty much is. And I mean, you're here. Yesterday we spoke about a gentleman who also believes that, you know, we're heading in. And, you know, it's just like what I said. You can't shut down global economies. Yes, it's been a year. Yeah, it's been it's been a little bit longer than a year when we were shut down in 2020. And you can't have, there's impacts. And then you look at what's going on in Europe. I mean, they're all ready for lockdowns. They're all ready for, all kinds of odd things going over. How do you think their economies are faring over there? And you don't think that's not going to affect us in some manner?
Of course.
I mean, the whole world is just, it's just ready to explode, it seems, Butch.
Well, the whole world is on unsteady footing, as we know, in every
Absolutely.
Way possible. You know, economically and even now with the wars and rumors of wars and more confusion and frustration. That's everywhere. You know, I just shared, I think it was Wednesday, what's happened in Turkey. The lira has dropped 50% mm-hmm. since last year. 50%, Melody. If you were getting $2,000 a month out of Social Security and all of a sudden only buy $1,000, how would you live on it?
Get used to it.
Yeah, but that'd be almost impossible. If you're making it, barely making on $2,000, how are you going to make it on $1,000?
Yep.
You still have the $2,000, but it'll be only on about half as much or pay half as much.
That's right.
So folks need to think about this. People, this is for real. It's happening around the world, and it's actually happening here. Not to the point of 50% yet, but over 6% a month in inflation, they admit to. Yes, it's happening. So I would suggest people start considering these things very seriously. Don't just listen to what we're saying. Don't just listen for the wanting to hear the latest thing in news. Think about your future. Think about what you would do when it comes our turn, and it's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. You one day maybe I'll be dead and gone, but you'll be here and you'll think, well, Pastor Butch and Melody told me it's going to happen years ago, but I didn't want to believe it. It's coming to America. America's turn to collapse economically is here. It's already started. It's hugely started. We just haven't seen the inflation rate quite at 50% in a year yet. But we're going to. You take that to the bank, it's going to happen. All nations who depend upon fiat currency, all nations in history that depend on fiat currency to keep its bills paid have went under financially. All of them. We will be no exception. Please don't take for granted this will be this way forever. It will not be that way forever. We will take a hit.
You know, there's an article. I didn't get a chance to read the whole thing. It's a Scientific American, and it's about humans are doomed to go extinct.
I saw that.
And it really is interesting when we talk about the population, the economy.
Do I hear music?
And... Yeah, it is. So
it is.
Yeah, it is. So we'll be right back.
Okay.
And stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC Talk Radio. TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. Heading in the break, we're just talking about the article that I came across, humans are doomed to go extinct. And, you know, we see population drops, you know, and it's the birth rate that's dropping. And that has an impact on the economy. And they explain that a reason for the downturn in population growth is economic. Politicians strive for relentless economic growth. That's all we hear about. But this is not sustainable in a world where resources are finite. And it goes on, and it's true. And he's talking about going into, you know, like, you know, the 2100, you know. Can you imagine living to 2100 and having to say, and this year is 2105, 2106. Anyway.
Wow.
I know. It's hard not to
wow.
say, you know. But anyway, it's true. And so I think we've pretty much maxed out. I mean, don't you think, Butch? To some degree, we've maxed out. I mean, as far as
our
economic growth, productivity, I mean, we've...
That's a tough question. I never pondered it much before. That is a tough question. For sure, we can make better use of what we have without destroying what we do use as we go along. I mean, for example, where I live, one of the biggest industries in this state is logging, and they finally figured out how to do some things a little smarter and replace the timber they cut, and, you know, for the second time around, and do it more wisely. So it can, maybe the things that we can sustain, we should sustain. But unfortunately, mm-hmm. man never had a tendency to do that. They want to rape it and move on. Yeah, they want to rape mm-hmm. the rape nature and move on. So that's a good question, Melody.
And it also says, and then we'll move on. He says, the most insidious threat to humankind is something called extinction debt. There comes a time in the progress of any species, even ones that seem to be thriving, when extinction will be inevitable, no matter what they might do to avert it. The cause of extinction is usually a delayed reaction to habitat loss. And it goes on and on. So just kind of interesting, kind of makes you think, and, you know, where we're at and so forth.
Oh, I'll just forget it. Turn the TV set on, watch the news. You'll tell you what's going on. Don't worry
about it. Alrighty. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
I thought this next article was kind of interesting, and it's really, in a way, a sad statement on the society. Again, as I said, no morals, but Bank of America execs warn junior staffers to dress down as New York City crime surges. Now, this is really sad. That's sad. Amid a surge in some New York City violent crime, Wall Street bigwigs continue to encourage younger staffers to come into the office, but to do so with caution. At Bank of America, senior executives have quietly encouraged younger employees to dress down to attract less attention as they make their way to B&A's tower at 1 Bryant Park. These execs have told their staffers that dressing up or wearing anything with a Bank of America logo can make them a target. Do people assume this because they work at the bank, they're carrying a fortune or something? I don't quite know. Anyway. One bank employee told on the money he is on high alert after he spotted someone with a knife near the office during a recent trek to the Manhattan workplace. Of course, it's not just Bank of America where worries over crime pervade. The city reported a 15% increase in felony assaults over the past 28 days, as of November 28th, when compared to the same period a year ago, according to NYPD statistics. Murder rates have surged 42% in the last 2 years. but remained largely flat over the past year. 42% increase in murder. Now they're telling their people that work there don't wear a suit and tie. Wear your blue jeans that holds them and look like you're poor or whatever. I mean, when you have to camouflage yourself to go to work because you might be mugged, that's a serious statement on the condition of society.
It's a sad statement.
It is. It really is. And New York City, of course, obviously has never been a tower of virtue as far as crime. It's always been one of the best, heaviest place to work for crime, especially because up there you can't even own a gun to protect yourself. But it's getting much, much worse because, again, society's crumbling. When you have law enforcement who stand back while rioters burn buildings, tear up businesses, loot neighborhoods, and they do nothing, that is pretty much a crumbling society. Any comments on Melody?
No.
And this article I'm going to share now, this was from 2019. It has to do with the vaccine passports. And we knew this was when he starts talking about the vaccine and the little quantum dots are putting in the vaccine so they can read your vaccine with a machine. You don't have to carry a card. Introducing some subcutaneous vaccine passports. Medical information can be stored on the skin with the help of microneedles. Now, we knew this had been going on already, but they started this in 2019 before they ever started doing it. The vaccination certificate of the future will get under your skin, according to researchers at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. A collar pattern with the vaccination dose is injected into the skin and not visible to the naked eye. The collar contains quantum dots no larger than a few nanometers. In December 2019, Robert S. Langer and his team developed and patented a technique whereby transdermal patches could be used to label people. Now listen, folks, the wording. Label people. What's it sound like you, Melody? You have to wear a label. Label people with invisible ink in order to store medical and other information subcutaneously. Medical and other information. Folks, that is... Oh, wow. Researchers funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, imagine that, and the Koch Institute for Integrity Cancer Research. When the quantum dots are illuminated by UV light, an electron in the quantum dot can be excited to a state of higher energy. In two vitro studies based on cell cultures on quantum dots suggest that their toxicity may derive from multiple factors, including their physiochemical characteristics. Kevin McNaw, a member of the team, explained, however, that the technique enabled a rapid inspection of vaccination history. Repeat that. This will enable a rapid inspection of vaccinated history. You'll be labeled. You have all your records on that. And it's already started. It's not in the future, folks. It's already happening as we speak. The vaccines on the so-called COVID vax, a lot of them had this in it already. So you've been labeled as well as given a poison dose of poison in your body. Now, that's just what it says. I didn't write it, but this was worked on in 2019. What a coincidence. So I think you may want to hear that. I thought it was kind of a telling story, to say the least.
Yes, very much so.
So, I mean, people, we're getting used to the idea. Of the mark every day. And don't worry, the Republicans will save us. If we can get the Republicans back in the House and take back the Senate, they're going
to
save
nothing
us.
Nothing to it's worry going, about. Nothing no, to worry about.
No, we got
about,
it made. When 2020 comes, on 2020, yeah. When 2022 comes, we have got it made. We'll take back all this. Well, folks, listen to this. Tools to enforce Orwellian rules. 80 House Republicans helped pass bill to fund federal vaccination database. 80 of your saviors helped pass this bill. 80 House Republicans voted with Democrats on Tuesday to pass the Immunization Infrastructure Modernization Act. Now listen to that. Immunization Infrastructure Modernization Act, which, if passed by the Senate and signed into law, would fund a federal vaccination database. And folks, why would you need these little dots, nano dots in your skin? Well, make them easier to know whether you had your vax or not, and you'd be in the database already. According to the bill, also called H.R. 550, the government would provide $400 million in taxpayer dollars to fund immunization system data modernization and expansion, a system otherwise defined as a confidential population-based computerized database that records immunization doses administered by any health care provider to persons with the geographic area covered by that database. The text specifically outlines the expansion of Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and Public Health Department capabilities and ability to for state and local health departments, as well as public and private health care providers, to share health data with the federal government. Doesn't that make you feel warm and fuzzy inside? And the Republicans helped pass it. And I guarantee if it gets to the Senate, the Republicans will let it go through the Senate also. You can take that to the bank, it's going to happen. When it gets to the Senate, you mark my words. And if I'm wrong, then I'll be glad to say, boy, I was wrong, and I'm sorry. But the Republicans, I'm sure, will back this in the Senate also. That's a huge swath of people in the House that switched over. Why would you think at least 10 of them or so wouldn't do it in the Senate? Any comments, Melody?
No, I mean, you know, it's, yeah, they're not there to help us.
No, they're not.
They're not there to help us.
And
amazing.
I don't want you thinking other than they have to know what you're doing, Mel. These people can't be so stupid that they can't figure out this is going to be used to control people. They can't be that stupid, can they?
No, they're not that stupid.
So they have to know what they're doing. Of course
Absolutely.
They know.
Absolutely. Of course they know.
And in a way, some good news, DeSantis is doing something I like. This hasn't been done since 1940s. Folks, maybe y'all don't know this, but we were never to have a National Guard. We had state guards. They were called state militias. Each state had their own, and at certain ages of males in the states had to serve in the state militias, at least part-time, to build a civilian military. Standing armies, as Jefferson warned us, was the bane of a free society. We've had standing armies in this nation longer than I've been alive, but we all assume it's something we should do, but it is not constitutional. It's not even morally right, scripturally. Read it for yourself in Numbers chapter 1. But DeSantis says proposes civilian Florida State Guard military force he will control. Repeat that. DeSantis wants to develop a state guard military force that he will control, not the feds. They can be used in any kind of emergency, of course, floods or storms, whatever. But there will be about 200 volunteer civilians trained in the best emergency response techniques. And so they will be trained state guards, and 200 is not nearly enough, but it's a start. To go back to the idea of a state guard is totally constitutional. In a way it ought to be, even biblically sound, in scriptures, that the tribes or the states would have their own civilian forces, and they go on a national force if necessary, but they were under control of the state, not the Fed. Now, I like that. And this hand is asking $3.5 million from the state legislature to establish a unit. I like some of the things DeSantis has done. Melody, I don't like some of the things he's done, but I like a lot of things he has done. He's at least tried to do something to get it back to someone in a way of a normal way. So I just thought I'd share that. I thought it was interesting.
Yeah, it really is. But 200?
Yeah, 200. Actually, it's not really enough.
You know, what would they do?
Well, they would be used for emergency uses. I mean, if storms or different things, they could be using them for that. He'd be under control of the governor. And they also, as part of a military force, if necessary, in the state.
I mean, I think it's a great thing. Don't get me wrong, but I just can't imagine what 200. When, you know, that means they're going to have to. Who would be first? FEMA? Would it be the reserves, or you know, what would they? When? I guess we're just asking too many, you know, questions.
Well, the detail they don't have.
It is curious, and it is a great thing. Yeah.
I think it is. It is.
Yeah.
I want to hustle through these last two articles here. I want to get a couple of the good ones on. Now, I'm laughing at this. I guess it's funny. A plumber finds thousands of cash envelopes stuffed inside toilet wall at Joe Osteen's mega church. A plumber made a shocking discovery this when fixing a toilet while at televangelist Joe Osteen's mega church in Houston last month. Thousands of envelopes stuffed full of cash and checks. According to KRPC Channel 2, a plumber named Justin called into a morning radio show this week to discuss the discovery he made when he called out the church after the church on November 10th. There was a loose toilet in the wall, and we removed the tile, he said. We went to remove the toilet, and I moved some insulation away. From about 5 envelopes fell out of the wall, and I was like, oh, wow. The plumber went on to say that around 3,000 envelopes stuffed with cash were recovered. So, wow. Maybe the plumber is pretty profitable. I don't know, but stuffed in a wall behind a toilet? Why? Hmm. 8-year-old is selling cupcakes to buy Christmas gifts for foster kids. A young girl in Pearland, Texas, is stepping up to help foster kids in a big way. I love this. 8-year-old Summer Lynn wants to help those who might feel like no one cares about them feel wanted and loved this holiday season. She's baking and selling cupcakes to buy Christmas gifts for foster kids because she knows it's hard for Santa to find their foster children. He's very busy, she said. They get moved a lot. They're special no matter what anyone says or does. Seriously, they deserve a good Christmas. They need a good home. She's already adopted 13 kids for Christmas.
Oh, how sweet.
Isn't that sweet? And
that's
Raleigh,
very sweet.
North Carolina, man, invites strangers over to Thanksgiving. He gets 400 responses. He could only take 4 of them in. But he said God blessed him. He had a heart attack at age 55. He survived it. He wants to give back. He moved from Connecticut to Raleigh, North Carolina. It was a little bit warmer. He invited folks over. He had four people over and had dinner with him. 4 families come over he didn't know, and he shared dinner with him. Now, is that a good thing or not?
That's a wonderful thing.
It is.
Good, how good sweet. Dinner. God bless them all.
Amen.
And we're out of time. So we've been blessed to be here for an hour. So I just want you all to be safe this weekend. And we'll be back on Monday. So until then, have a great night. And he left for me. That's too bad.